Hour number three, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, Thursday, September 29th, 9 a.m. As we keep on trucking right here on Jocks 94.5.
Go get yourself a truck right now. Bill Smith Buick GMC, just right up there in Coleman off I-65. You see him on Highway 31. You're going to take great care of Andy Cole, Jonathan Yeager. They're the very best. They are GMC and Buick's Dealer of the Year. Don't get that distinction without having unbelievable track record for customer service. Do an amazing job as far as your inventory is concerned, and you're giving away the best deals in town. I mean, the customer retention rate is unbelievable as well. 75% of their business is repeat customers. That's because their customers have had a superior experience when they've shopped with Bill Smith. So you just take the short drive up to Coleman. You can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com. Go grab yourself right now a 2022 Buick Encore Preferred. With the safety package and the automatic six-speed automatic transmission, all this stuff, $28,325 would be the list price. You can go get it right now. $26,400, a couple thousand bucks, nearly 10% off list. That's pretty good deal right there. That's how you become GMC and Buick's Dealer of the Year. So go take the short drive up there, Coleman. Go see my friends, Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager. They'll take great care of you. Tell them I sent you. And you can also shop online. Have it delivered right to your driveway at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
He joins us each and every week, thanks to our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly. It's the coach, Wim Sanderson. Coach, always good to have you.
Okay, always great to be on. Okay, I switched from Kansas to Tennessee, Tennessee last week and lost a blue plate. So I love the Kansas coach. He's great, and stupid me switched over. So I'll tell the blue plate when it's over today.
No, it's all good. It's my Kansas team.
Okay. Let me ask both of you this. It's a stupid question. A guy comes up to me and says, I've never seen Alabama play. Do they run the ball a lot or do they throw it a lot? And I would say, I don't know. And I would say that that's a good answer. That question comes to both of you. Is that a good answer? Is that good football? Because I don't know when they line up, whether they're going to throw it or pass it. I mean,
I think they're balanced, Coach. I mean, that's 235 rushing yards per game is really good. And yeah, for some reason, some folks just don't believe that.
Being just a football, non-football guy, I would think by me not knowing, that would be great.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think most people would say that, you know, they throw it more, they throw it all over the place. But I actually think it's a very balanced offense. And sitting with Coach Saban on Friday is one thing he brought up to us. He said we always need to strive to be more balanced offensively. And so he wants to be that. They're going to be that. But it's also dictated by what the defense gives you. I mean, they can call – Bill O'Brien can call 10 consecutive run plays. And if the defense gives them something that's more beneficial through the air, then – Bryce is going to change it, and he's going to go throw the ball.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, I mean, like, when you look at it, like, let's use the Texas game as an example. They had 23 carries for 80 yards, and then they had one carry for 81, right? Yeah. So it doesn't feel – it's a little bit different than it used to be in a sense that, they've had the big hitter, like the McClellan run there against Texas, 81 yards – end up, 24 carries for 161 yards, pretty good on the stat line, but half of that production came on one run. It used to be whereas, 7, 8, 12, 6, 4, it just used to be a little bit more methodical, and it hasn't felt quite like that this year. So I can understand why some people have maybe felt a little bit uneasy about the consistency when it comes to running the football. I can understand that.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was a good question. I don't really know.
No, it's I think it's interesting because I think the perception of that offense is very different this year, for different reasons. But it's not one. A lot of folks keep saying, "What's Alabama's identity on offense? Do they need to find their identity on offense?"
That's what I need to ask it.
I think your identity can be balanced, Coach.
And that's what they're going to strive for. I mean, that's who they want to be. I mean, they want to be balanced. That's ultimately, like, if you're going to ask Nick Saban what he wants to be offensively, it's balanced.
You know, the other thing that because Coach is so smart and I enjoy being around him when we play golf when a kid leaves your program and he goes to Arkansas and he's very successful, you're looking in the mirror at yourself, mm-hmm. so what could I have done? What we do wrong? We need to have kept that kid. And you may have a staff meeting with your kid, with your staff, and say, I don't think in a fussing way, but you know, we need to be more, do a better job. That's a very difficult thing, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing, and like I've only actually heard it from Arkansas's perspective. I have not heard it from Alabama's perspective. But Drew Sanders, and this is according to Arkansas, right? They saw him as a very versatile defender, that if he slimmed down, they could play him off the ball, and that they could do a lot of things with him and could feature him in ways that he would never be featured at Alabama. Alabama saw him as a 255-pound edge player. That was how they saw him. He was long, and that was how he was going to be utilized. And Arkansas said, well, we think we can slim him down and then make him a much more well-rounded and versatile defender. So Alabama saw him a certain way. Not that they saw him poorly. They just didn't anticipate him being this kind of player. And I'm sure they're kicking themselves about this, to be honest with you, just given the player he's become and just how disruptive he's become as well.
Well, they're so try to be so careful in the handling of kids, which they do, and that all schools do. I'm not just saying Alabama, but you just don't want to let one get away, then look back at it and see that
they have a pretty good track record, like inflow versus outflow. Like, okay, there have been guys that have gone elsewhere to have great success. I mean, a couple examples: Drew Sanders this year. You know, at Tennessee, they obviously let Alvin Kamara go. He became a star at Tennessee. But if you really think about it,
Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma.
Jalen Hurts, but that was, you know, almost because of just too much depth at the position.
Right.
You know, I mean, there have been examples, but there are far, far more examples of guys leaving the program only to become average rotational players at other places. It's rare when they let a good one get away. So you're right, Coach. I mean, their hit rate, though, as far as retention, it far outweighs their miss rate. That's for sure.
All right, Coach, let's get into this weekend. There are some massive matchups. You know, there's some games I feel like that we're going to learn a lot about a couple of teams that are facing off against one another, and we're anxious to see exactly what they're all about, probably just because of who they've played up to this point. But what are you looking at? What do you like coming up this weekend?
Well, I couldn't figure out Kentucky and Ole Miss. I'm not smart enough. 6.5 points in Kentucky sounds awfully good, but sounds too good. And so I looked at trying to blue plate UAB and Rice. My UAB coach throws it a lot, and just a 10-point difference. But then I couldn't. And I really like, and I guess I'm stupid on this one, I really like Cincinnati because they've been going so well, although Tulsa's is good. And I tried to figure out why they scored 27 points against Ole Miss before I would blue plate that, and so I passed on it. And this is not against anybody. Because I was at one school, don't mean jack crap, you know, whatever. But I took LSU. And the reason I took LSU over Auburn is that it's 9 points as the blue plate. I just think LSU's defense is really very good. And I think that their offense, having lost to the game that Greg did, is improved. It's better. They're playing together better. And I think Auburn will have their quarterbacks back, and that'll be important. 9 points may be too many. So that's what I did, not because my grandson's going to Auburn, so it's not because of Alabama 100 years. That's the best one I thought. I couldn't find any that I'd really liked at all. I like Utah a little bit, but they lost a wide receiver, and Oregon State's played darn good, so I got scared of them. So I just took the one I thought was the best chance. I did that last week and lost in the Tennessee thing, but that's who I took.
The first thing, Coach, I would say is be careful with Tulsa. Davis Brin left that Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
and he's been great this year. His backup, Braylon Braxton, a little bit more mobile, but just I think he only has 26 career attempts in college. So, yeah, you got to be careful with that one. Because Tulsa's a different team when Bryn's in the game. He's a really good player. And if he stays in, I'd be interested to see how that game went against Ole Miss.
The Auburn thing is just, this is going to sound crazy to you, Cole. I thought when they had to play for a long period of time defensively, they got really tired. I thought they just went, God, I thought they were out of condition. Now, you may say to me, Coach, you're stupid, whatever. But it just looked to me like they played fast against them a little bit, and where they were on the defensive end for a good period of time, they looked tired to me. So I could be way, way, way off base. That's what I thought.
Well, they're not real deep up front.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a little bit of a problem, and that could be an area that you kind of see. All right, and then I don't know how it wouldn't have played to both defenses with, what was it, 9 consecutive punts in that game?
Yeah.
11 straight? What, I can't even keep count that high.
That's true. We all got
so bored with it, we didn't know what we were watching. Yeah. So that could also play into it a little bit as well. But, that front has been, not even from a depth perspective, Coach, but that front for Auburn has been probably the letdown of the season.
Yeah.
Because we didn't expect the O-line to be great. We didn't really think that the quarterbacks were going to just light it up. We knew receiver was going to be a little bit of an issue, but we thought the front on defense was going to be solid, and that's something they were going to be able to lean on. Tailbacks, defensive front, and they haven't been that.
Yeah, I have felt like, as I said last week, that their pass defense is a little bit soft and not ready. I don't know what the word is to me, just watching it from a coach's standpoint, just not tough enough. So I don't know.
All right. So, which one's your blue plate, Coach?
I took LSU.
LSU, your blue plate. Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit earlier in one that I think that we're on board with. The Rubik's Cube look like LSU +4. So, the mathematicians are on board with you on that one.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't care. I like to get the blue plate right, because everybody's fussing at me when I don't. So, I had a great year.
Because we had like 4 people tweeting in saying they missed and they wanted to hear it. I had to link them up with the podcast and go hear it there.
Yeah, that's I've seen it. It's like winning and losing football. You're stupid 1 week and smart the next.
That's how it goes. Coach, we always appreciate the time. And as you know, each and every week you're brought to us by Coke and Piggly Wiggly.
Well, Piggly Wiggly are great people, Coke. And when you go in Piggly Wiggly, you go into a home store that's willing to help you and do what they can for you. They're great. They have great products, and they are nice. And I've been with Stan and Andy for 1,000 years, and I appreciate them being sponsoring our show and doing what they do for the people in the city of Birmingham. Thank you, guys. I look forward to watching and listening to you talk this weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Great stuff. Always appreciate the time. Wimp Sanderson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. So do want to spend a little bit of time on that game, G-Mac, just because obviously, you're going to be on it, so you've been looking into it. You've been watching it. You seem just a tad more optimistic about the Auburn offense than maybe some other folks do. But I want to talk the LSU side of things also when we come back and just kind of look at where they are and maybe where you think they could be going. Because my theory with LSU is that this is a team that a lot of folks just kind of categorize them as, oh, they're so much better than they were against Florida State. I think they have figured some things out, and that was going to be a part of Brian Kelly and his staff having to get into game situations, see what they have, what they didn't have, and then just sort of toggle some things around until they found the right recipe, and then try to work with what they had after they knew what they had found it. And I think they found out a lot about themselves here in the first couple of weeks. But as you know, this game, Auburn's been a pest in the game planning of LSU for quite some time. And this game usually ends up being a weird one. Auburn's won the last two. So it's just, it doesn't look like there are a lot of matchups that favor Auburn this time around, but we know what this game traditionally has been.
Pest, you say?
I did.
Oh, well, as the weather's getting cooler and starting to have some wet weather and all this other stuff, you need to rely on our friends at Wayne's. They're going to take great care of you just like they take great care of me, man. They've been servicing my house, man. It's been amazing. They've taken unbelievable care of us. I'll like sometimes just walk in the garage and they'll just be like a dead bug, just like belly up, dead bug. Like, how did that thing die? Well, it's because Wayne's has created some type of impenetrable force around our house. I'm not sure what happened, but my goodness, they have done an incredible job right now with the smart pest solution. They're going to proactively set up a solution with you, an appointment with you, if you have an unwanted intruder. And even better, they're going to do so 24 hours a day. They're always watching and taking great care of you. So if there's a venomous spider or if there's a rodent, they're going to get in and take care of the problem before it becomes a real problem. So go give them a shout today, 866-WAYNES-1. Visit callwaynes.com. Use offer code JOCKS. That's J-O-X, offer code JOCKS. You're going to get $60 off your first month when you use that offer code. So give them a shout, 866-WAYNES-1. Visit callwaynes.com and let Waynes create your happy place.
Your boy Phil chirping back at you via Twitter, at Mac and Cube. That's always brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. You can tweet back in there. The original tweet read, Greg, I lost a 14 parlay last week because of your Oregon State love.
Oregon State covered.
I was on Oregon State too.
Got it.
But now he's gone back to quoting his own tweet and correcting himself. Sorry, Iowa State, not Oregon State.
There we go.
We were wrong on that one.
That one surprised me. If I'm going to be completely honest, that one really surprised me. Then again, I'm awful in the noon window right now.
I just like that it's your fault Phil wagered on teams that did not go his way.
I wonder if we gave him the other three. We lost that four teamer, but we were in position to win it.
That's it.
I am mad.
I would say it's your fault for playing parlays, but what do I know?
That's it.
Scare money don't make
that's
money.
That's your strategy.
Man, what?
Good luck.
I'm only playing 10 teamers.
That's it?
That's it. I'm going to hit one every 7 years.
That's it. But that one is going to set you up.
$5 parlay pays $7,000. All underdogs that are 10 points or more. Who cares? Underdog money lines. I don't care anymore. Just let it rip.
All right, we're going to talk a little Auburn LSU when we come back, but the Rubik's Cubic left one number out of the Kentucky Ole Miss matchup. A number concerning one of these coaches that you will not believe, and it may change how you play your parlay, Phil. We'll give it to you next on McElroy and Cubic in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 9:23 a.m. Radio on Jocks 94.5. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Apps in your app store, iPhone, Android. You can download that. Tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jocks skill or just listen to Jocks. You can always tune in that way. And it is Thursday, September 29th. We are just days away from October. Knocking on the door of October. And if you're looking to get into a new ride for the new month, Royal Automotive is where you need to go. Over 50 years, 4 award-winning dealerships, 1 family-owned and operated business. It could only be Royal Automotive in Vestavia. The Royal family of stores has been the Magic City source for new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for decades. Put all that experience to the test when you visit Royal Pre-Owned Auto Mart, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. You will not find a faster, friendlier way to shop for a car. Royal is your go-to local leader for the models you want, like GMC Sierra, Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. Find them all with absolutely no market adjustment fees ever. DealerRater.com even named Royal the number one GMC, Volvo, and Volkswagen dealer in Alabama for customer satisfaction based on customer reviews. Find the entire Royal family of stores where I-65 meets Highway 31 of Vestavia. Browse everything online at RoyalAutomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. A lot of numbers that we've thrown around today. Rubik's Cubic, you can go get that on the podcast if you missed it. So we've had a lot of statistics that we've discussed with certain games. But one sticks out to me in this Kentucky Ole Miss game, GMAC, that I found just astonishing. We mentioned 1958, the last time these two teams played, that they were both ranked in the AP poll. Kentucky's won 8 straight. Ole Miss has won 12 straight at home. So that home winning streak could be on the line as the Wildcats come to town this weekend. But this one stuck out more so than the others. Mark Stoops, as the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, has never, ever, not one single time, won at an SEC West venue. 0-10 playing on the road against SEC West teams.
That's trippy. That's a trippy stat.
It's just... And then you throw that on top of the fact that Ole Miss has won 12 straight at home. That's the second longest active home winning streak in college football behind Clemson. So it feels just like a lot of things are beginning to add up and sort of lean the way of the Rebels in this game. But I don't know.
All it takes is one time.
That's it.
Like the list, like they said in Little Giants.
That's it. But
it ain't mattered up to this point what you done. It's what you're doing from this point forward.
But what part of this game do you look at and say you really like one or the other because of either a position group or scheme or coaching, anything?
Well, a couple of things. One, I like the contrast in styles. I mean, anytime you have a complete contrast, like for instance, Ole Miss is among the fastest teams in America with how they use their tempo. Meanwhile, Kentucky, one of the slowest teams in America.
Fifth fastest, fourth slowest.
Love that. Like, I love the contrast in styles there. Two, right now, the uncertainties surrounding Kentucky's offense's inability to run the football. But Chris Rodriguez is back. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that Chris Rodriguez at running back, you know, just ask Tank Bigsby. How much does it matter how good you are at running back if you can't run the football behind an offensive line that's going to get in front of people? Like, I'd rather have a good offensive line than a good running back. Just admit that, all right? So, but Chris Rodriguez being back, maybe he does something for this offense that they haven't quite had just yet. I mean, Rodriguez last year finished with nearly 1,400 rushing yards and averaged 6 yards per carry. So, this year, Kentucky, by the way, averaging less than 2.5 yards a carry. So I'm not saying that Rodriguez all of a sudden is going to go in, all of a sudden this rushing attack is going to take it to the next step, but that's something to consider. And the fact, too, that Ole Miss, maybe they'll be able to get home rushing the passer. I mean, to me, the most interesting angle is Kentucky's offense against Ole Miss' defense, because those are the two areas that I'm really not sure about. I think Kentucky's defense will play well. I think Ole Miss's offense will play well. I think those two teams match up. I want to know about the sides of their respective, you know, Kentucky offense, Ole Miss defense. Those are things I'm not sure about, and that's what I want to find out this weekend. It's really going to be interesting. It won't take long to figure out either. It's going to take maybe a quarter to get a good sense as to whether or not Ole Miss's defensive line is good, and if Kentucky is improved with Rodriguez in the ballgame as compared to what they've had in the last couple weeks.
One other crazy number sort of attached to this game. Kentucky already has a win against an AP-ranked team on the road this season. The last time Kentucky beat two AP-ranked teams on the road, 1977. So there are a lot of things that are going into this game, happening with this game, that we haven't seen in a long time. And I go back to those strength of records, Kentucky 102, Ole Miss 122. There's still just a lot to be learned about both of these football teams because, yes, there may have been a decent opponent or two that they've played that have showed up, but not collectively. Therefore, I think there's a lot that we just don't have an idea of how they're going to operate and what they're going to be. I'm with you. I think that Kentucky offensive line is just flat not the same. And the production from tight end, I actually think, is helping disguise a little bit of that. And it's not that the fall off at running back is so great after Chris Rodriguez. They have other guys that are capable. And Kvassie Smoke's not as big, durable, not as great between the tackles, but he can still help get it done in different ways. And I think just, too, another scheme change, even though it's not a drastic change, it wasn't a complete overhaul, it's still different. And if not for the wide receiver position, I can't even imagine where this Kentucky team would be right now, because that's the group that I feel like has stepped up and exceeded everybody's expectations as far as what they are and what they're going to be. So it won't just be that Ole Miss pass rush that is going to be put to the test. I think the third level of that Ole Miss defense also going to be put to the test by a couple of guys who have shown that they can get it done. They can either take high percentage throws, turn them into explosives, and they can get the job done down the field. So that'll be a tough task for the Ole Miss defense as well.
I actually think that Kentucky's wide receivers are among the best groups in the SEC. I mean, with what Barry and Brown now has emerged with, and how I think Tavion Robinson has really been so similar to what Wandale was.
Yep,
that's one of the better tandems in the SEC. People, they're not going to get the credit they probably deserve because other guys are going to have. But I'll tell you this right now: those two guys, they'd start at Alabama right now.
Throwing Dane Key as well.
Dane Key's got some length as well. So, I mean, those two guys started Alabama. I mean, just being honest. I mean, at A&M, they'd start. LSU, probably not. Auburn, they'd start.
Yes.
Ole Miss, you could say they'd start at Ole Miss, even.
At least I think Mingo's good. Yeah, at least at one spot, for sure.
You can make a case it's the best 1-2 punch in the SEC, and that's a crazy thing to think about because we have never talked about Kentucky wide receivers with the same type of glowing conversation that we have up to this point.
I mean, think about how long it had been since we just saw like one legit go. I mean, it was like Craig East, and then you had Randall Cobb, and then it was a decade before you saw a legit go-to guy at wide receiver in a Kentucky uniform, and now they've got potentially three that can go out there and be whatever you need them to be. It's just, it's kind of really wild good. To think about how they, where they've come. And I mean, you had one in Lynn Bowden, but you had to put him at quarterback a couple of years ago. So he wasn't even able to be a full-time receiver, and he wasn't an outside guy. Very durable and obviously could do a lot of different things, but
he was really a better football player than he was a receiver.
Yes,
though.
I'll give you that.
You know, he wasn't so much like, oh, I'm going to carve him up and create the separation in the slot here. That's just not really who he was. Like, it's one of those, like, get him the ball in a bubble and just see what he does with it.
Yep. No, it's been cool to see. I mean, I don't think that they're, I mean, if you're going to put other teams ahead of them, Tennessee, LSU, you mentioned those two, definitely going to go ahead of them.
For sure. But who else?
I mean, I think maybe by the end of the year, you'll have an interesting discussion with an Arkansas. If Matt Lehners keeps doing what he's doing, maybe. I'm not saying definitively now. I think collectively, top to bottom, would you take Mississippi State's group just with the depth?
I wouldn't.
No? We've talked about how underrated Georgia's group is with Ladd McConkey and, I mean, obviously
specifically at wideout,
a tight end.
Like,
yeah,
if you want to take the tight ends out of it, specifically a wideout, like, I think you would take those guys and start them over Georgia.
Yeah, good chance. I mean, it's just it's
that,
crazy.
Well, it's the fact that we're even having the conversation tells you all you need to know. Yeah. I mean, this would not be a conversation that has ever been had about Kentucky wideouts. So they've come a long way, man. They should be real proud of how far they've come. And look, Levis helps too. He's excellent. So it'll be very interesting, I think, to watch this group as they continue to move. Because part of the problem is, yeah, they can score and they can air it out, but they can't protect. And when they start playing against quality competition, and Ole Miss might not be that up front, by the way. Like, let's just be honest.
We'll find out. Yep.
But Tennessee, can they get home? I don't know. I mean, I know Georgia can. Right, like who else is going to give, if Kentucky wins this one, who else can get them? Seriously. Like Tennessee and Georgia, for sure. But like, you better be able to affect the quarterback. You better be able to rush the passer. And that Tennessee-Kentucky game might be a shootout. Like it was last year, I might add.
It was.
So I don't know. That's a really, this is a massive game for Kentucky. They win this one, you can all but essentially nail down a New Year's Six invitation. Yeah,
and Mississippi State's kind of had their number. That one's been a weird matchup. That's just kind of gone different ways. And
but you think they go 0-3 against Georgia, Mississippi State, and Tennessee?
No. They have South Carolina after Ole Miss.
I think they'll get South Carolina.
So you get that one, and then you've got Mississippi State, Tennessee, at Missouri, Vandy, Georgia, Louisville. So I think you're right. You get this one, then you get South Carolina at home. You also get State at home. So regardless of what that game has been, did not look great there last year. You know, had them a couple of years ago at home, couldn't get it. Then you go to Knoxville, at Missouri and Vanderbilt, and then you're sitting there. Could you be, even if you're a one-loss team, closing out the season against Georgia and Louisville? Both at home, by the way. Either way, you're knocking on the door of a special season. Even if you couldn't get Georgia, and you can go 10-2 with the win against Louisville to close it out. It's a hell of a year for Mark Stoops. I mean, that would be fantastic if you could find a way to get that done. So, but you're right, and I do like what Tennessee have done with 6-9, moving them around a little bit more. That's giving them a little bit more juice up front. They're a little more loose. They've got a little bit more twitch up front. So, and I'll say the middle of the Tennessee defensive line is one of the position groups that over the course of this year has exceeded my expectations, because I had none for it. I did not think they were going to be a group that could slow anybody down, and they've actually played pretty good football. But we'll see if that can continue, or we'll see exactly kind of how that will go. But you're right about the future schedule. Kentucky gets this one, and you carry a lot of momentum and now a lot of different expectations into the next few games. And you got an opportunity to potentially do some good things. So that's one reason I'm excited for that game. You asked me earlier, Clemson, NC State, Kentucky, Ole Miss, which one that I have more interest in for different reasons, and it would be Kentucky and Ole Miss, just because there's a lot that I want to learn about these two teams, and I think we'll come away feeling pretty good about one. Either way it goes, I think that we're going to find out, because like you said, the matchups, the contrast and style, someone's going to have to do something outside their comfort zone to win this game, and that'll show me what kind of a team they are moving forward. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I can tell you this. In order to watch it, I'm glad that I'm having a nice roof over my head, thanks to my friends at Yellowhammer Roofing. They are pros, and they are our hometown professional team. Do an amazing job. They come out, take a peek at your house, free assessment, 855-217-8887. You can also go online at yellowhammerroofing.com. Like I said, locally owned and operated. They work where they live. You're going to see them in and around the community. Wave at them. Say hello. It's going to be great. They also are all licensed and insured. Everybody that works for them that comes out to represent them, they're going to be licensed and insured. And you have that five-year workmanship warranty where they own your roof for the first 5 years. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that gives me peace of mind, knowing if there's any issues in the first 5 years, they will take care of it. Like I said, go online at yellowhammerroofing.com, or you can call them at 855-217-8887. Yellowhammer Roofing.
That's it? Is Yellowhammer Roofing?
That's it.
Okay. So we will get to a break. 800-239-9569 if you want to get in on the other side. I said we talk some Auburn LSU. We begin to dive into different portions of that game next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 9:42 a.m. Thursday, September 29th. 800-239-9569. You want to get in. Big weekend of college football coming up. Don't forget, tomorrow, obviously, John Parker Wilson with us. Stanford Steve going to be with us. And we go Max Ball, getting you set for the weekend. Mailman is on the Bud Light Hotline, wants to chime in on this week's college football games. Welcome into the show, Mailman.
Hey, what's going on, guys? As always, we always enjoy you guys' segment. I wanted to make a couple of comments, and then I'm going to end with a question for you and GMAC. My two favorite teams this year in the SEC, like I said, you guys know I'm a big Alabama fan, but I think the difference between this year Alabama team is they have the depth pretty much at every position. And we know last year the injury bug hit Alabama pretty hard on, especially the running backs and some spots of the secondary last year. So I really like Alabama this year to literally pick their score in any game, and their defense has the type of cornerbacks and DBs this year to literally by Will Anderson and Dallas Turner getting pressure to force a team to become one-dimensional. I actually like Kentucky and what Stoops have built the last couple of years over on the east side, even over Georgia, and they won it all last year. And I want to set up the matchup between Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky, Ole Miss. For me, Arkansas is limping in, licking their wounds, and I think Alabama, by getting back Harrell and JoJo Earl, that they'll be able to expose their defense even more. And I look for this particular road game to be a blowout, and Kentucky gets Rodriguez back. I look for their running game to get on track. And guys, don't laugh, but Kentucky is one of the only teams in the SEC East that have not made it to the SEC championship game. I'm looking for Alabama and Kentucky to be in the SEC championship game. And my question for both of you guys is this. Taking these three teams and looking at how it appears now, Georgia being on the top, out of these three teams, which one has the better chance? This question is for Cole. Which one has the better chance to get Georgia this year? Will it be Kentucky, Tennessee, or Florida? And we know the streak that Georgia has over Tennessee and Kentucky. Greg, my question to you is, the only thing, if any, that scares me about Alabama's schedule is this is a year of teams that have never beat Alabama since Saban has been there. Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. Out of those three teams, Greg.
Mississippi State's beat Alabama. 2007, they beat us.
Not since Saban has been there.
No, 2007 they beat us, I'm afraid. I wish they hadn't. I remember it vividly.
Okay, well, we'll take the 07 loss, but still, that's what, 15 years?
It's been a minute. That's
still a long, right. So, out of those three teams, which one would have a better chance of knocking Alabama off this year? And I'll hang up and listen.
I'll say Tennessee best chance to get Georgia, just because you're going to get man coverage and you're going to have the opportunity to push the ball down the field. You'll create some explosive plays. And I don't really buy into the Georgia sack numbers, but you still got to get quarterbacks to the ground. Mobile quarterback also going to help with that.
Right.
I've said for a while, the Kentucky-Georgia thing is just, it's a bad matchup. Now, they're a little more explosive at receiver this year. You have a quarterback who's very capable. That helps. But... you know, the backroom brawl, you know, going back out in a street fight in the back alley, that's not the recipe to take to Georgia. And unless you have the guys who are bigger and badder, that's not the way that you're going to knock them off. And Kentucky does not have a laundry list of guys who are just bigger and badder. So it's a bad matchup for them. Florida, they're just not ready to go beat Georgia right now, in my opinion.
I think Tennessee is the most difficult matchup right now of all the teams that you might have to face with championship expectations. You just catch them on the wrong day, and you blow a couple coverages, and next thing you know, you got some issues. I still am not as convinced in Tennessee just yet. Like, I think the win at Pitt was a good win. Would that game have been different if Keaton Slovis had stayed healthy? Perhaps, you know, but it's the same thing that people have said about Texas with Quinn Ewers going down against Alabama. Like, you can tell me, well, a guy got hurt. It's part of the story that there's one opportunity to get it done. That's part of the story. It didn't happen. But, you know, would it have been different? I think that's a reasonable question. So I'm not as convinced with that was like a great, great win. I think the Florida win was a good win. But maybe not quite a great win. So while I'm very encouraged by what I've seen from Tennessee up to this point, I'm not 100% like lock it in. They're going 10-2 just yet. I think that there's still a few things I need to figure out, and there's still going to be a few contests here in the coming weeks, like at LSU next week, against Alabama a couple weeks from now. Like, those will teach me a lot more than what I've actually learned about them up to this point. So I'm still a little bit in wait and see mode with Tennessee, and that might be unfair, but you know, they've kind of let me down in the past before. Like, I've been sure on board with them in the past, and it hasn't materialized. So,
but if you're putting it up, those three best chance, who would it go to? Florida, definitely. Tennessee,
no doubt.
Kentucky, yeah.
Well, they have the best. I think they have the most difficult offense to prepare for, and I think in an upset setting, give me a great offense any day of the week against a great defense. Because if you can match them point for point, that can become fairly demoralizing over the course of a game.
All right, so we'll continue that conversation. Ace and Daphne wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Ace, welcome into the show.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing this morning?
Great,
up,
how are you?
Good, good. So I'm going to make it quick. Got a couple of questions. First off, today it kind of feels like fall for the first time.
It does.
For
nice.
Me, anyway. I live down south.
We're in the same spot. I had to wear a jacket in today. It was sneaky cold leaving the house this morning at 6:15.
Oh, yeah. And I'm feeling really good about it.
Love it.
So, based on that, just on y'all guys' experience, with the change of the weather and it getting a little cooler, what kind of effect does that have on the players? And does it, you know, do they feel better, or is it
the best effect,
any effect on them at all?
The best effect humanly possible. I mean, you just feel great. You feel better. Like I always felt as the weather began to cool off, I just felt better conditioned. I just felt more comfortable. Just, you don't have to worry about the dehydration and the heat and the fatigue near as much. You just feel it. It just feels better. Like, literally, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but just better in every way. That was me, though. I'm sure quarterbacks like it would be a little warmer.
It just didn't make much of a difference.
Like, you got to put sleeves on, and they got to have the hand warmer around the waist, the little thing that they clamp on.
Never wore sleeves. Played left, in New York, it was like glove, 20 degrees, didn't wear sleeves.
The
like,
left glove they break. Have to keep some fingers warm. So it's different for those guys.
Yeah.
But yes, Ace,
yeah.
That's it.
Please, give me Thank a break. You for the call. I don't want to hear that nonsense. honestly, I never really noticed it. I mean, it just wasn't that big of a difference. To me, like it can be 95 or it can be 45, it's pretty comparable. You get above 95, that's when it becomes a pain in the butt. You get below 45, those hits start to sting a little bit more. So like anywhere between like that 50 degree range, really no difference. But anything above and or below, that's when you can really tell a difference.
The one big negative with the weather that I will say is there's always that early October game that sneaks up on you when the temperature jumps back up like 15 degrees. So you'll start getting highs of 72, 74, 68, and then all of a sudden you get like an October 15th game and it's 86, and it feels like it's 106 or 116 because it's just you've gotten so acclimated to things cooling off, and then it jumps back up and that sun's beaming down. Like you get that 11 o'clock or 2:30 game and the temperature jumps back up from what it has been. That's the one that just kind of always stuck out to me that was miserable. So
yeah,
the weather's good. Like Greg said, you get that 50 degree variance and the kids can be outside. You know where they need to be doing it? On a playground from Backyard Adventures in your backyard. Go see exactly what they're like. It's already put together right there on Cahaba Valley Road. Go check out all the different options that they have, the different slides, the different swings, what they have underneath, tire swing, picnic table, whatever your kids want. Jeff and the guys can customize it, and they'll be out playing on that thing every day. My kids are in our backyard every day if it's not raining or if it's not below Greg's threshold of 50 degrees. Mm. They're out there playing. They love being on their playground from Backyard Adventures, but not just playgrounds that Backyard Adventures can help you out with.
Yeah, and you might not be able to accommodate a playground. We can't. Our backyard's too small and it's too much of a slope. So Jeff and the guys recommended a basketball goal. It's been a great addition to our family. Have absolutely loved it. The kids have played outside. We've played outside. My jumper has never been better. And that's saying something because my jumper is usually as smooth as silk, cooler than the other side of the pella. All right, so the fact that it's improved is really saying a whole lot. Fadeaway 3 could use a little work, but that's all right. Don't need distance. Mid-range guy. So Jeff and the guys made that recommendation. It's been a huge hit, man. I didn't think we'd use it as much as we do. I got to be honest. I really did not, but we have. It has been a great, great thing and a great addition to our family. Spend time together to be outside. No more screen time, no more video games. Get outside, spend time together. That's exactly what we've done. So appreciate Jeff and the guys for taking great care of us. And I know they'll take great care of you. Go see them on Cahaba Valley Road or go online at backyardalabama.com.
We're going to hit it a little bit more tomorrow, but how about LSU? They've allowed 3 points in their last 90 minutes of football. And I kind of hit it, G-Mac. Everybody thinks that this team's just improved and gotten better. Oh, they're so much better. I just think that they figured some things out. I think they needed to find their five up front on the offensive line. I think they needed to find out how to make Jaden Daniels comfortable. I think they needed to obviously get their who they believe is their best tailback back. And then with the injuries, suspensions, you know, on the defensive line, they kind of had to figure that part out as well.
Right.
And then a guy like Harold Perkins begins to come on. You see how he can help you out. I just think it's been more of a feeling out process. And now that Brian Kelly and his staff know what they have, they've been able to sort of go draw up some different things, design some different things to be a little bit more successful.
Yeah, I think LSU's figured it out. First of all, I think Brian Kelly's a really good coach. All right. Like he is, and defensively, they got guys. You know, they got a couple guys that are starting to, Harold Perkins starting to emerge a little bit. I think they can go four deep at linebacker. You got two for speed, two for size. I think you have nice versatility there at the second level. I think the secondary is coming on. Doesn't necessarily need to because I don't think the receivers are that great. Next week, yeah, they better turn it on
right against
Tennessee. But they haven't really faced any great receivers. I'm not sure they will. Maybe that FSU team will be pretty good by season's end at receiver. It looks like they're starting to come on, and they held them in check okay. So outside of the third down woes that they had week one defensively, that defense played good football. And I think Jaden Daniels is getting more and more comfortable. So I think LSU is going to be a handful by season's end. I really believe that. I don't know if their record will reflect that, but they will not be a team you want to play.
But they kind of just feel like they're gradually climbing, like gradually growing. And an Auburn team that is struggling a little bit is going to catch them at the wrong time because they are beginning to figure a lot of different things out. They get Seven Banks back last week in the secondary, the Ohio State transfer. He's now helping out, just gives them more numbers to move more guys around. And Jaden Daniels just become more and more comfortable as that dual threat quarterback, accounting for over 1,000 yards in the last four games. He and KJ Jefferson, the only two quarterbacks that have done that. So we'll spend more time on that game tomorrow. Maybe try to find some spots that Auburn could be successful in that game against the Bayou Bengals. Great stuff today. Larry Williams, Tony Hayes, Rubik's Cubic, Wimp Sanderson. Get them all at the podcast. JocksFM.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yours. We're back tomorrow. Three Man Front is next.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.